The U.S. Senate may be getting closer to finding a deal on immigration that addresses both the Dreamers, the people brought to the country illegally as children, and border security. That's one of many, many things developing in Washington at a time of endless barrage of news and endless barrage of news. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley is in the middle of the barrage, or at least very close to it. He's giving us 10 minutes here on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's see if we got all the switches flipped. Senator Merkley, are you with us?
Okay, hello there.
There we go. Good, you are here. Okay, excellent, good. Now we've got the switches flipped in just the nick of time here. Wanted to ask a bunch of questions. We only have 10 minutes, though, so let's talk about immigration first, because I noticed just this morning, within the last 2 hours, it looks like the prospects have improved somewhat for an immigration measure emerging from the Senate. What do you know?
Yes, there is a narrow bill that just addresses border security and the Dreamers. We haven't seen the details of it yet. It's been worked out, and hopefully we'll be able to carry the day in the Senate, but meanwhile, the president's opposing it, and we're not sure Mitch McConnell will support it, so we're not sure what our prospects are.
All right, so very narrowly then basically DACA recipients and border security. Does it include the wall, to your knowledge?
I imagine it involves some form of wall in some places, but hopefully not the vision that President Trump had laid out, a wall that actually doesn't stop drugs and doesn't stop people and is a huge waste of American money. But border security, spending money in a smart way, that's part of a nation of laws and that we can support.
But then if Democrats in the Senate end up with a bill in front of them that has the entire $25 billion wall and yet citizenship potentially for the Dreamers, up to 1.8 million of them, is that the bitter pill you'll have to swallow?
Well, that might be part of the deal. I think what we'll see is that any project on the border would take many, many years to get launched and to make progress on. So even if a bill supports a significant piece of wall now, if we do it year by year, then we'll have a chance to rethink this a couple years from now. And rethinking it might be a very smart thing to do. Meanwhile, I'm very concerned about the parents of our Dreamers, because many Republicans have been saying that they want to use the information that our Dreamers provide to go after the parents and send them out of the country, and telling our youth, our Dreamers, that their information is going to be used against their families is unacceptable.
Used, you mean, in other words, to deport them potentially?
Yes. Potentially, yes.
Wow. Okay. So a lot going on. Still a lot of things still to be worked out with immigration measures coming through Congress. Let's talk about some other things going on. Yesterday, you apparently had a little time face-to-face with Mick Mulvaney, who is not only the budget director but also the acting director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. What is he trying to do, and what are your issues with the efforts at the CFPB?
Well, in both roles, it's horrific. The budget the president just put forward takes $1 trillion out of healthcare in America. Now, you think about, well, they just sent $1.5 trillion, the richest Americans, through tax bill, so now they want to take $1 trillion out of healthcare, and more bad news in the rest of the budget. So let's set that aside. In his role as the head of Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, he's eviscerating the agency. It's supposed to be a watchdog so that Americans get a fair, square deal in financial transactions without tricks and traps, without teaser rate mortgages, without multi-option negative amortizing mortgages, without kickbacks to the originators so that the originators steer them into bad mortgages. Get, you know, fair, square deals so families can thrive from financial transactions, and that includes taking out the payday loans that are 500% to 1,000%, and Mick Mulvaney has said the agency is not going to pursue that aggressively. They're going to rethink it. He tried to put it in very gentle terms. They're going to rethink it. But I'll tell you, those loans, which we have banned in Oregon, are absolutely destructive to the success of families.
Well, I was going to ask you if state laws like Oregon's are enough to reduce the danger, even if the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau doesn't help.
We've made great progress in Oregon, but we still have the challenge of online loans. Those are by law, can't be enforced in Oregon, but the banks use an automatic withdrawal mechanism that makes it very hard to enforce that law. So strong federal action would be very helpful backing up what Oregon has done.
Senator Jeff Merkley, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We only have him for a few minutes. We're not going to take any phone calls in this segment. Sorry. Let's talk about budgets. We just talked about money in our homes. Let's talk about money in the federal budget. That was a big Christmas tree that Congress just passed. How far did that go beyond the bounds of what you think this or any Congress would normally do?
Well, it's going to drive the deficit up from about 3% of gross domestic product to perhaps well over 5%. In other words, we may see a near doubling of the deficit in the very near term. And realize that it at the heart of it, what's driving the debt is a massive giveaway to the richest Americans. The rich will get richer. The rich will have more income. The disparities will increase. They'll have more money to throw back into Republican campaigns, like the Koch brothers just promised another $400 million that they're going to, quote, invest in the next campaigns. This is really government of, by, and for the powerful over the people. It's not the way our nation was designed to work, and we're going to have a very challenging time trying to reclaim the vision on which our Constitution was founded.
Now, the Congress passed this two-year appropriations bill ahead of the arrival of the budget from the White House, which essentially makes that budget a moot point. But as you look at some of the proposals in there, like we talked to the folks at Shake Alert in the first hour about potentially getting their budget zeroed out, I mean, what do you see in there just in a general trend and some specific issues you might have with it?
Well, so the framework was primarily to increase defense spending by some $80 billion plus a year and then increase non-defense programs by a lesser amount. There are things that need to be done under that non-defense increase, important investments in rural infrastructure, in both water and in broadband, important investments in opioid epidemic, for example, making sure we reauthorize and reopen our community health clinics. But the big picture is that those increases went along with this massive $1.5 trillion tax decrease. And so instead of paying for the things we should be paying for and keeping the deficit low, instead of what we're seeing are massive deficits and as going along with doing our basic fundamental work on health care. And so it's a very frustrating, ugly picture. And the budget that the president delivered, I mean, for example, his vision is to savagely cut both health care and Medicare. This is the president who promised not to cut Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security. But nonetheless, that's a promise broken. And in addition, it has huge cuts to things like food stamp program, which Oregon has been one of the hungriest states in the nation. And so a lot of bad news in there to fight against. Now, realize this was a budget bill. The appropriation or spending bill will come in about 3 weeks. So we'll have another chance to fight some of these battles.
Senator Merkley, let's talk about some resource issues. The Economic Development Administration grant, $50,000 to help recovery from the Chetco Bar fire. What will that be used for?
Well, the community will have a significant role in determining where that's needed most, as it should. But we did see impact around the state to communities that were so economically affected because their roads were shut down, because tourism disappeared during those smoke-filled days. And so any effort that we can secure to help those communities that were affected is a good thing. But let me add this. I was fighting for us to get significant funds for making our forests more fire-resistant. That sort of thinning is a win-win on every level. It employs people, makes the forest fire-resistant, provides saw logs to the mill, better ecosystems. It's actually better timber stands. So it's a win-win for everyone. But there's a group of Republicans who have decided that they are going to try to hold ransom any improvements of that nature, any of that win-win, and try to get rid of all the environmental laws and be able to do massive, massive clear cuts, taking us back to the 1950s. And so, unfortunately, we ended up without any funds for improving the health and fire resistance of our forests. And it's a huge mistake, an absolutely huge mistake, huge opportunity lost. And those Republicans who sabotage this effort are doing great damage to their states.
Senator, you're getting a cut sign from somebody. We were told we had 10 minutes.
I am not getting that sign on this end.
All right. Well, let's keep going then.
But I don't hear the messages you're getting.
All right. We're not getting it on this end either. So I'll plow ahead and hope we can take you to the end of the time
That'd
here.
Great.
The Resilient Federal Forests Act, H.R. 2936, which Greg Walden helped shepherd through the House, has been bottled up in committee since November 2nd when it arrived. Is it likely to emerge, and would you support it?
No. No, this is one of those strip the environmental rules and do massive clear cut strategies. It takes us way back. We have this coming together, the environmental and the forest community, behind thinning that provides saw logs, healthier forests, healthier timber stands, saw logs for mills. So let's seize that strategy. It's a win-win, but that bill doesn't do it.
Also on the environment, you got some flack for your statement on protections for the sage grouse from some cattle groups in Oregon. What happened there, and what's the misunderstanding?
Well, I've heard from a lot of ranchers, sage grouse territory folks, who are very supportive of continuing the work that Oregon has done so that we don't run afoul of the Endangered Species Act. So there are ranchers who are saying, no, let's go with the administration and break down all these protections. And there's others who are saying, please, Senator, make sure that we stick with the plan we have, because that plan is the foundation for us to avoid a real disaster in the future. So that's the two perspectives I'm hearing from ranching territory.
On to another issue, federal judges. Ryan Bounds, originally from Hermiston, proposes a federal judge, and you now say he's not qualified. What's the issue?
Well, the issue is that there is a number of statements that he has made in the course of time that reflected, not the right temperament for a judge of being able to be completely independent and respectful of those who come and the cases that come before the court.
And judges generally, Time magazine was among many recently, it landed at my house yesterday, to point out the high rate of confirmations with a Republican president and a Republican Senate. I mean, how fast is the process going now?
Well, it's going very fast. The massive number of judges have been confirmed compared to what happened under the opening period with Senator Obama. The Republicans really haven't had that many positions that the Trump administration has wanted to fill in the executive branch, and they feel like the long-term gain is to take very young people, very conservative people, and pack the courts. And that's a real concern for those of us who value the Constitution.
Is the minority party pretty much iced out of the process the way things are going now?
Yes.
All right. Let me ask about the memos about the Trump-Russia investigation. I know that's generally going on in the House, but what you make of the whole situation in Washington, where it appears we have branches or committees of the legislative branch trying to protect the executive branch.
Yes, we have the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, and Nunes. And remember, Nunes is the one who, a year ago March, contrived this whole fake information where he went to the White House, got information, went back to the Hill, and said, oh, look what I've got, this information that came from an outside party, and then took it back to the very White House he got it from as if it was legitimate third-party information. I mean, it was a complete comedy if it wasn't on a topic so serious. That is a similar effort here, where cherry-picking of information is being done to try to discredit the work of the highly professional special prosecutor. And we need to make sure, we need to understand, this is an effort to prevent us from ever knowing just what the Trump team did in working with the Russians and how they interfered with our elections. And that's unacceptable. The Russians are attacking the foundation of our democracy, our elections, and we need to get to the bottom of it. And we need a watchdog, which we don't have in President Trump, to make sure they never do it again.
Senator Jeff Merkley, I thank you for the extra time. I apologize to your staff and whoever's waiting for you for letting me hog you a little longer, but thanks for visiting with us.
A real pleasure to talk with you.
All right, take care.